to Slightly Offsides, your perfect game plan for all things college and professional football. Hosted by Dre and Mike.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Slightly Offsides, presented by Better Edge. Play the game without getting played. We are going to go through our first ever picks and predictions episode. Dre could not be with us tonight, but we do have his picks with us. We'll be calling for him in spirit. We do have, at the time of this recording, we do have quite a good slate of games here for week one. The Thursday night games as well as the Saturday night games, and we also have a Sunday night game on there. Let's get right into it, Greg, with the first one on the list. Let's go Thursday night, West Virginia and Pitt.
Okay, so you heard me clowning Pitt last episode. I'm not very high on them this year. I'm not very high on West Virginia either, but I think West Virginia covers in the backyard brawl. They have a very tough defense, and I don't know, Pitt lost a lot. They have a lot of inexperience. And even like Keaton Slovis, he hasn't played. He hasn't started in a few years. So I'm going to have W to cover.
Yeah, I have the same, actually. We discussed this on the first episode, and I actually think that there's a chance West Virginia could actually pull this one out. Definitely have them beating the 7.5-point spread. I think that half point is going to make a lot of people angry as well.
As always.
That could be a bad beat if you're taking Pitt minus 7.5. And before we did get into this, Greg, I did want to mention for our listeners out there something just to be clear on. We are going to be talking about lines here, folks, but this is just to be clear. This is not betting advice. This is just an easy
Certainly
way for
not.
Us to categorize our competition against each other this year. We will be bringing on a professional handicapper onto the show later on in the year. And, you know, we're not going to say that anything he or she says will be betting advice. But, you know, that is up to their personal opinions as to how they want to play that. But just keep in mind, that's just what we kind of wanted to talk about in terms of how we're discussing this. So just please understand that, you know, we won't personally be taking any of these picks. If we do, we will let you know. And they're not intended at all to be construed as betting advice, more so just for a way to kind of fully explain how we feel a game's going to turn out. Dre, I'm going to pull up your picks right now. So for this game, from Dre, we had, he's got Pitt covering minus 7.5 against West Virginia. It's going to be a tough game. We also have another Thursday night tough game, Penn State versus Purdue. Greg, why don't you lead us off with that one?
Yes, you know I'm very high on Penn State this year, but this is just a terrible game to bet on. It's week one, it's Thursday night, and it's against Purdue. Probably like three of the worst, like most volatile things you can ever bet on, try to gauge. My gut kind of tells me Purdue at home on a Thursday night, they're going to have their crowd popping. But don't be surprised if I get burned by this pick. And even if I have Purdue winning, I still have Penn State winning 9-10 games this year. Just Penn State always seems to drop a game that they shouldn't, and I can very well see this being one of those.
Yeah, this to me has I get a very similar feel for this game as I did like last year when Penn State went to Iowa. Albeit Iowa was probably a better team at that point last year than Purdue is, but just, you know, very tough environment on the road. I do think the line I have here is Penn State minus 3.5. And I feel confident that, you know, Sean Clifford coming back in his 20th year of college football should at least, you know, kind of help mitigate that raucous environment and help calm down the Nittany Lions. Dre also agrees with me, so both of us are taking Penn State on this one. We'll see how that one turns out, but, you know, Purdue is always a really tough place to go, especially when, you know, you're starting out the year, so definitely wouldn't be surprised to see Purdue pull out a nice little win there to start their season. We got a crazy slate of Saturday games. We're going to start out with pretty interesting matchup from two Group of Five schools, both, you know, trending up over the past 2 years. Houston versus University of Texas San Antonio, UTSA. For those of you that remember last year, UTSA was a nice up-and-comer. They had a great year. I think they finished in the top 25, actually. And Houston, as well, as we all know, is, you know, most people's picks to kind of continue that Cincinnati-esque run if there were to be a Group of Five school this year. And they were pretty good last year. They returned Clayton Tune as well as a bunch of their other tools on offense and defense. They have one of the best up-and-coming position coaches and coordinators in the country in Doug Belk. So, Greg, start us off here. What do you think here for Houston UTSA?
What's the spread?
I don't have the spread here. I actually took something on the over under.
All right, let's see this. I need to see this to guess. Bear with me for a second.
So while you're pulling that up, I'll go with mine actually. I took the over. The over under on this game was 62. So I think that you know, Houston has a great defense, absolutely, but UTSA has a bunch of ballers on the offensive side of the ball, and Houston is no slouch either when it comes to offense. One thing that you can kind of predict is, you know, or you kind of see is early on in a year, there tends to be a lot more, at least from my opinion, there tends to be a lot more flexibility on the offensive side for high scoring as opposed to defense. Generally, you know, defenses are more likely to blow coverages week one, week zero. So I tend to like, you know, higher scoring games early on in the season as defenses start to figure stuff out. So I'm going to go over in this one.
And I see the spread that it's 4. I'm going to go Houston here. I think they win by a touchdown. It's going to be a hell of a game, like 45-38 type game. But I think Houston has more talent on offense, so they're going to pull through in the fourth quarter.
Yep, Dre agrees with you on that one. He also has Houston. Next game, Cincy versus Arkansas. This is a really interesting one. I kind of went back and forth on this one, Greg, for a little bit. Cincinnati obviously lost a lot of pieces, but they've been able to pick the pieces up, put them together over Luke Fickell's time there. They've had a lot of successful years, albeit they did have Ritter for almost all of those. So, you know, could be coincidence, could not be. Remains to be seen, but Arkansas is favored 6.5. Who do you got on this one?
I'm taking the Razorbacks here. 27-20 game. Going to be very physical. But I think, you know, Cincy loses 5-6 starters on defense. They lose Desmond Ritter. They lose Alec Pierce and Jerome Ford. At least for week one, I feel like that's going to be insurmountable against a pretty good Arkansas team. Arkansas is going to wear them down. You have KJ Jefferson on offense. I think Razorbacks are going to, you know, fourth quarter, they're going to take over, and they're really going to feel the fatigue there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one, Greg. I think Arkansas definitely is, you know, they're in for a rough year, just by nature of where they are in the SEC, but definitely a depleted Cincinnati team. And I think it's going to take Luke Fickell a little bit of time just to get the Bearcats rolling. I don't think that they'll necessarily roll over in this one, but I could definitely see Arkansas winning by, you know, a 10-13 point margin, well clearing that 6.5 line. So I'm going to take the Hogs as well. And I believe Dre also agrees with us. He's also going to go Arkansas. So, yep, that's chalk across the board. That's the first time we've had that. So, all right, moving forward, we've got NC State at East Carolina. The first time I pulled this up, I was actually shocked to see the line. I thought NC State would be at least 17-point favorites. They're only 11.5. So I went ahead and hammered the Wolfpack on that one. East Carolina, they're no slouches,
they're not,
Greg.
And I saw, I think NC State took the last two matches, but then before that, the last two went to ECU. However, I think with NC State's experience on defense, they're going to have an explosive offense. I think this is, don't overthink this. I think NC State's going to cover pretty easily.
Yep, and Dre agrees with us as well. I think Devin Leary just gets to a point where he probably takes over that game at some point. And, you know, the NC State defense is very underrated, in my opinion. So, know how I feel about NC State. Enough said there. All right, next one we've got Colorado State versus Michigan. A lot of people will probably ask why this is even on the slate. It's a 30.5-point favorite game for Michigan. But I've heard talk that there are some cautiously optimistic people out there who think that there's a shot for Colorado State to beat that spread. Yeah. Greg, are you one of them?
Michigan State's running attack is too powerful. They have one of the best O-lines in the country. Won the Joe Moore Award last year. They bring in a superstar center from UVA. And they have two fantastic backs in Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. They're going to run all over that defense. They're not even going to really need to utilize McNamara's throwing ability, however good you think that is. I think Michigan wins this game 59-13.
Wow, that's good. Greg and I both agree with you. We think that the Wolverines will cover. I think this is an opportunity for Jim Harbaugh and that Michigan team to, you know, come out and put a statement win on the board week one. This is a team that they should beat handily. And, you know, in recent years, Michigan has kind of fluffed a couple of these games to start out the year, either, you know, an App State loss or just like an underwhelming performance. So I think this would be a really good opportunity for them to come out and show that, you know, they weren't just a one-year wonder last year.
Have too much talent, especially in the line of scrimmage. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think this is a statement win for them to just continue building on the momentum of last year. Get back in the win column. All right, we have a really good one here. We've got a primetime matchup, Utah versus Florida in the Swamp. Utah favored by only 2.5 against an unranked Florida. Greg, how are you taking this one?
I think Utah wins this by 10 points, like 31-21 type game. Florida, I mean, I talked about it a little bit last episode, but I'm not very high on them this year, especially Billy Napier coming in. I know they're at home, but Utah just has too much power in the running attack. They have an experienced defense. Florida has Anthony Richardson, but he doesn't have the talent around him that Florida is usually accustomed to. I think Utah wins this pretty convincingly.
Yeah, I think things get scary for the Utes in the beginning of this game. I think that now, you know, the new coach and Billy Napier maybe revitalizes the Swamp, bringing in a top 10 opponent week one at home. Great opportunity for Fuller to play upset dog here, but I agree with you. I think 2.5 is a wickedly close line for a mighty talented and battle-tested Utah team. You know, they last year they kind of struggled on the road, but I don't think that's the case this year. I think much more experience on that offensive side of things. But I definitely think first quarter it'll be close, and I think Florida could probably force a couple of turnovers to make it interesting.
If you are Florida, you got to get that game off well. You got to keep the crowd into it. If Utah, like, just starts running the ball over you and you're down by a couple scores, the game's over. Crowd's out of it. The game's probably over at that point. They just have too much talent.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Next game we've got on the docket here is one of the big boy matchups in Atlanta, Georgia versus Oregon. We've unpacked this one pretty decently. Lot of storylines to go around. The current line is Georgia by 17. Greg, how are we feeling on that?
I'm going to take Oregon to cover here. I don't see Georgia running away with this game in terms of, like, you know, chucking deep bombs. I think Georgia's going to establish the run, but I don't see their offense as explosive enough to justify, like, a 17-point spread. And I think Oregon will do enough on offense to keep it interesting. I think Georgia takes this by 14 points.
Dre agrees with you. He thinks Oregon's going to beat here. I do as well. Listen, I think if you're Oregon, this is the perfect time to play Georgia, right? There's going to be a lot of things they need to iron out. A lot of, you know, talented but inexperienced and unproven guys stepping in, especially on the defensive side for them. So this is a great time to get them. I think that Oregon's got a lot to prove. They've got a chip on their shoulder. I think their defense, especially their linebacking core, is going to be sneaky good this year. Justin Flo, Noah Sewell. Not a lot of people are giving them credit. It's going to be really interesting to see what Dan Lanning can do with those guys. So I'm very excited to see this game. I think 17 points is just a straight-up disgrace to the Ducks. I think they come out, I think they lose, but I think they probably lose by 7 or 10 in this one. Next, we've got Ohio State Notre Dame. Line is currently 17.5. I'm going to kick this one off with Dre. In this game, Dre has Notre Dame to beat the spread against Ohio State. I actually picked Notre Dame as well for similar reasons. I think that, you know, there is a lot of hype right now for Ohio State, and call me a skeptic, call me just a man of the times here, but we've heard a lot of high praise for an Ohio State defense pretty frequently these last few years, and it's yet to kind of materialize on the field. So I'm a little bit more of a I'll see it when I believe it, or I'll believe it when I see it kind of guy. At this point, I think that Notre Dame's defense is probably going to, you know, make a couple stops. Maybe Ohio State has a couple of things they got to iron out. Similar concept to the Oregon game in that I just think that a top five matchup, it's disgraceful for a 17.5 point favorite. However, I do think the talent gap is, you know, indicative of that line. I think very well Ohio State could run away with this if they bring it on the defensive side of things. So I'd be happy to be wrong about that. Just wanted to be a little cautious and conservative.
Yeah, I mean, for me,
maybe that's some of my bias.
I think I keep teetering between the spread, but I think gut instinct, I'm going to take Ohio State, because if Ohio State takes the lead over Dame, I don't think there's much Notre Dame can do on offense. They have Michael Mayer in the passing game, but they don't really have much at receiver. They're more of like a physical, dominant run game type team. And you have Chris Tyree and Logan Ford at back. Tyree was solid his freshman year, and then he didn't play as much last year. But, I mean, you're going into Columbus, Ohio on Saturday night. Ohio State gets off to a quick start. They have the same offense basically as they did in the Rose Bowl. I think Ohio State puts up 45 points at minimum, and I just don't see Notre Dame covering that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. If it becomes a track meet, if Ohio State gets the jump, Notre Dame is not going to be able to play from behind one-dimensionally. We saw Michigan State try to do that against an Ohio State team last year, and it just you don't want to get behind, especially in the shoe early. So that's going to be key. I think the trenches battles there are going to be really good. I just saw today Ohio State PFF number one overall offensive line ranking coming into the year, and Notre Dame I think is like the fourth best O-line and like the fifth best D-line or something like that. So definitely going to be in the trenches
on
there.
On Saturday, that could actually make a pretty big impact.
Yeah, it'll be a great game.
It says he's questionable.
Did you say Jarrett Patterson? Yeah, he's still questionable.
Even,
they said that he practiced
like
the last 2 days,
play,
but he wasn't 100%. He was just
like,
getting some.
He's not
going to
be
reps.
As dominant as usual. Like, that could be tough for them. That's your best lineman.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a great point. He's one of the better linemen in the country too. So that would be a big blow. Moving on, we have Alabama versus Utah State. Again, this is kind of a little head scratcher as to why we have this one on here. being that Utah State are 41.5 point dogs.
Again, disgusting.
But Greg, what do you have here?
You just can't take Utah State here, though. I think, like last year, I think some friends took New Mexico State like plus 52 against Bama, and it was like 3-0 like late in the first quarter, and they were like all celebrating, and then Bama just scores like 21 points in 3 minutes, and you know they covered pretty easily. So I think Utah State's a very formidable opponent, especially like, you know, non-power five, but it's Bama. Like, I think this is a game where Jahmyr Gibbs just goes off, 200 yards rushing for him. Bryce Young's not going to have to do a whole lot here. I think Bama's going to cover. They're going to drop 60 points on Utah State.
So Dre agrees with you. I don't. I'm going to do the unthinkable here. I'm taking Utah State to beat. Cause why not, man? I mean, I think that, yeah, it's Bama for sure, 100%. But at the end of the day, Utah State, I think that, you know, 41.5 is just a little bit too disrespectful. I'd like to see like a 35-37 line here. I think it's going to be close. I think there's going to be points at times where maybe a garbage time touchdown against the backups could backdoor save that beat. But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, Utah State
just
has a little bit of juice in them to at least
games.
Keep
it's
it closer than 42.
Just ask it for trouble.
So that's what I'm going to go with on that one. It's tough. It's always so tough. It is. It really is. But yeah, I mean, there's not going to be any trouble in terms of the outcome of that game. We're just talking numbers. It's not an if, it's a when. Next, we've got UNC versus App State. This one's actually a tricky one. UNC favored 1.5 on the road against probably one of the better group of five teams this year, led by QB Chase Bryce.
They have a very experienced team. You have Chase Bryce, the sixth-year senior, starting at QB. Tons, I think, like 15 or so, like fifth or sixth-year players. Just a very veteran squad versus a inexperienced, you know, you got Drake May and Marion Hampton on offense for UNC. App State's a very good team, and I think like maybe later in the year UNC would have a better you know, be favored by more, but I think App State's experience will come into play in this early matchup.
I think that's a great point. Very well said there, Greg. Dre is going to disagree with you, as will I. So I have UNC here. I am pretty cautious in taking this one, though. I am very worried with how talented App State is, especially when you count into when you take into account their experience as well. I'd like to see. I'm very interested to see how Drake May performs against App State. This is a drastically escalating level of competition as opposed to Florida A&M last week. So I think it's going to be a really good kind of benchmark game for UNC, just to kind of figure out where they are before they get into the ACC. I think, though, that just Josh Downs and Amarian Hampton and Drake May, I think they're going to make enough plays here late to, you know, potentially win the game for UNC. It's going to be close, though, in my opinion, probably the entire game. I don't really think there's going to be any separation. It'll probably be a drive-by-drive game. But I think the Heels can potentially pull it off. Wouldn't be shocked, though, if App State really builds on that home field advantage and takes them. And then the last Saturday game we have is kind of a... kind of an interesting one here, Rutgers and Boston College. Boston College favored by 7. Rutgers is a tough team to get a read on. Greg, you had mentioned that Boston College was actually one of your kind of dark horses
you know
in the
I'm
ACC.
Leaning here.
So
I don't think
feel
Rutgers
like I know where you're leaning here, but why don't you go ahead and tell us?
I mean, you just don't have the talent at the same time. They're going to be a very well-coached team. They're going to be hard to play against. But, I mean, Boston College is going to be able to overcome that. They're going to cover the spread. Handily, in my opinion. I think they win this game by at least 17 points.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and Dre tends to agree with you as well. I think, you know, Rutgers probably comes in, maybe makes a couple of key stops to start the game, keeps it close for a little bit. But, yeah, I think Boston College runs away with it, especially in the second half. Shouldn't be any shocks there to me. And then the last game we have wrapping up here, this is probably one of the more intriguing and just shocking games on the sheet here. It's a Sunday game, and if you'd pulled this game up maybe 5 or 6 years ago, you would have potentially been looking at two top 10 teams. But instead, I think both these teams are going to be fighting for whether or not they make a bowl game this year. FSU and LSU.
I'm going to take LSU.
What are we thinking here? The line currently favors
LSU by 3 in the bye. I'm not going to believe Florida State's back till they prove something. I feel like every year we kind of hear, nobody says that they're back. People are going to say, oh, you know, they're starting to rebuild. They're retooling well, and they just don't perform up to expectations, even for a tool. I think LSU, you know, Jaden Daniels is not even confirmed as their starting QB. They have Garrett Nussmeier as well. I think Daniels is going to win out that job, and he's going to have a big performance against FSU. Not the greatest defense there. And Brian Kelly's first game. Oh, and if you're Brian Kelly, you absolutely cannot lose this game in front of your home fans to FSU.
Yeah, I think that last point is a really good point. Dre agrees with you. He's taking the Tigers here. I'm going to go with the Noles. I actually think the Noles won't even just cover or beat. I think they'll actually win the game. And the reason why is experience. I think one thing that all of the other Norvell teams have lacked has been experience. And, you know, when you're at a program like FSU, where, you know, you're not shipping off guys to the league, one of the benefits of that is, you know, you start to get an experienced squad. They're one of the more experienced squads in the ACC this year, bringing back Jordan Travis and a lot of their big pieces. And yeah, they don't really have a lot of big-time players, per se, but I just think that you're going to see a much more composed, much more experienced Florida State team compared with an LSU team that, frankly, you know, Kelly has kind of had to scrap and put together last minute for this season. So there's going to be a lot of question marks just to see how the LSU team gels. I think if Kelly has done a good job in the offseason, and if that locker room is tight, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't win this game. But I'm kind of betting against that. I think that there's going to be some hiccups early for LSU.
And that's something you're going to see right off the bat week one.
I think a team that's experienced.
Is LSU a cohesive team?
In Florida State should be able to take
advantage. You can read all the offseason articles you want, but, you know, first week of the season, you're going to truly see that when they're playing, you know, a Florida State team.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the slate for this week, everybody. We'll be doing this every week, previewing the games, and we'll be keeping a tracker between myself, Greg, and Dre to see who has kind of just been the most consistent over the year. And we will be uploading that periodically as well as refreshing it and talking about it on the show. So appreciate you tuning in. We will catch you for the next episode after week one, where we break down the big storylines, big games, and some of the big takeaways from what should be a absolutely wild week one of football. So really appreciate it. Make sure to check us out on all social media. We are continuing to expand our footprint there as well. And we will see you on the next episode of Slightly Offsides.
Thanks for listening to Slightly Offsides. We'll catch you next time.